I don't know, like you've had a lot of luck with guest hosts, just like you have with your guests.
I have. And I think that if it wasn't for some guest hosts giving me a break every now and then, I may not have made it to episode 300.
Welcome to Heart with Anna. I'm not Anna Jaworski, but I am your host today. My name is Alex Jaworski, and I made my mother a heart mom. I was born in 94 with a heart defect, and the rest is history. I'm honored to be today's host because you all asked for episode 300 of Heart to Heart with Anna to feature a guest host. Mary Rouser said that it should be me, so thank you, Mary. This is for you. Today's show is entitled Celebrating 300 Episodes of Heart to Heart with Anna. So Anna Jaworski, my mother, became part of the congenital heart defect, or CHD, community when I was born with a heart defect. At the time, they diagnosed it as HLHS, but more on that later. Mom looked for resources to learn more about my condition. She couldn't find anything that was really what she needed at the time, so she started creating resources, and she made them available to others. Started her own publishing company, Baby Hearts Press. Her first two books were Hypoplastic Left Heart Syndrome, A Handbook for Parents, and My Brother Needs an Operation. These were written to help families who were affected by congenital heart disease. Since then, she's edited several books of essays written by heart dads and heart moms. And just this year, she started working with other authors in the CHD community, and they've launched an online bookstore, the Heart Community Collective. She's also a public speaker and now, of course, hosts her own podcast, Heart to Heart with Anna. This began in 2013, and now 8 years later, here we are on episode 300. So, welcome, Mom, to Heart to Heart with Anna.
Thank you so much, Alex. I'm happy that you're here with me today.
All right, so let's talk about how you even started the podcast. Because I know that you didn't start this until I left for college, but I don't really know exactly what led up to it.
Okay. I was visiting with Mary, who is a writer friend of mine, when I got a phone call. Since I never know if it's somebody who's wanting to order a book, I went ahead and took the call. It happened to be a man who introduced himself as a producer, and he asked me if I had ever thought of having my own radio show. I'd been on radio shows before. I'd even been on TV with you.
Yes. Long time ago, but yes.
A long time ago. I was no stranger to radio shows, but I hadn't really ever thought of having my own show.
Right.
So I was a blogger. I don't know if you know that, Alex, but I think
I know that you had done it kind of off and on.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like a very big part of everything you were doing.
Well, it wasn't something that you were very familiar with because I usually did it when you were in class.
Right. Yeah. Follows.
So he found my blog on the internet and he said to me that he had been reading my blog and he asked me if I had my own radio show, what would I talk about? And I said, well, I guess I would talk about what I wrote today on my blog. And he said, well, what if you were going to have a show next week? What would you talk about? And I thought about it, and I came up with a topic. And then he asked me, what about the week after that? And it felt like Toastmasters.
Yeah,
it felt
yeah.
like Table Topics with Toastmasters. So
sounds like it.
I told him another idea, because it really wasn't hard to come up with some ideas. And he said, I think you've got a lot to talk about. Why don't you put together a proposal, and I'll take it to my general manager. So that's what I did. Thanks to Mary. Mary and I were both teachers.
Yep, yep.
We came up with a lesson plan.
Of course you did.
And I sent it to him, and he ran it past the Voice America crew, and they said they loved the idea for the podcast. And he even called it a mitzvah. A mitzvah. It's a Jewish or Hebrew word that means a good deed.
Oh, okay. So I'd heard the word, but I didn't know what it actually meant.
Yeah. So he felt that by Voice America producing my show, that it would be something that they were doing that would be helpful to the heart community. And he was really happy about it. So that's how I started. And it's hard to believe that that was now almost 8 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. 2021.
It's really hard to believe, Alex. So that's how I got started. And you were away at school, so you missed all of it.
I had no idea. Yep, yep. You called me one day and were like, I've got a podcast now. I'm like, what's a podcast?
Yeah, but remember when I first got started, we didn't even call it a podcast. We called it an internet radio show because the word podcast, it wasn't even being used. So now I know I have a podcast.
And now podcasts have become so much more mainstream.
Yeah.
Very different environment.
It is. It is. Do you know there are over a million podcasts now?
Wow.
I know,
yeah, that
right?
is a lot.
It's a lot of podcasts. So, yeah, but we're up there. We're one of
you've
the longer-running ones.
Yeah, you've been around from the beginning, kind of. Maybe not the beginning, but pretty early on.
Pretty early on. And so many podcasts come and go.
Right.
That it's nice to see that mine's had some staying power.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about your first guest. Who did you invite to be on for the first few episodes?
Well, I was really nervous, Alex. So at first I thought, I'm just going to have my friends, people who I love in the heart community. But with Mary's help, I came up with my topics. And when we came up with the topics, it seemed obvious who needed to be on the show. So the first show I wanted to do, I wanted to call it You Are Not Alone. Because I don't know if you remember this because you were a very little boy. But a long time ago, I spoke in Atlanta, Georgia.
It's wasn't when that we what were got living you started on Toastmasters? Right,
yes,
right.
Yes, that is what got me started with Toastmasters because I was so nervous. After that, I said, I can't ever do this again if I don't get some help. I did that speech a long, long time ago for the first Heart Parent Conference that I had ever attended. I thought, this is the topic that we need to start with. And it even became my tagline. So at the end of every episode.
I was going to say, that saying has been there for a while on the show.
Right. From the very beginning. So when I was thinking about You Are Not Alone, I thought, well, who would feel alone? And I thought, everybody. So I knew I wanted to have grandparents. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the grandparents we met in California, Jess and Nancy McCain?
Didn't we meet them later at like a quilting?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we did. Yeah. And you're right. That was later. First, we met them in California, and then they came to Houston. And we met them at the International Quilt Fair.
Yeah.
Or not Quilt Fair, the International Quilt.
Kind of like a quilting convention almost.
Yeah. It was at the convention center in Houston. Yeah. And Grandpa Jess taught you how to make a quilt block.
Oh,
do you remember that?
Not at all.
He taught Grandpa how to do it too. Oh. And so I knew I wanted to have them on the program, and they were sweet enough to come on the show. And I knew I needed a heart mom. Mm-hmm. So you remember Callie Rickard?
No.
She lived in Waco, and we got together and had lunch in Waco with her and her son.
Was she a heart mom?
She was a heart mom because her son had a heart defect as well. And then, of course, I had to have a heart warrior, even though I know we weren't even using that term way back then. But I don't think you met Carl Wolford, but he is now a grandfather, and he was born with a heart defect himself.
Oh, wow.
So when I was working with the Children's Heart Foundation, and I think you were in college then too, but I got a chance to meet him, and we served together on the Texas Board of the Children's Heart Foundation. So they were my very first guests.
Cool.
I had an hour-long show. Mm. So having four different guests was was doable.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas now I only have a half an hour show. So
Or two guests at most.
Right. One or two guests because I don't want it to be too superficial.
Right, right. You want to actually get into the topic and really, really connect.
Exactly. Really, my show is all about connecting, Alex. Mm-hmm. Connecting and storytelling. If I have to sum it up in just a couple of words, that's how I would do it. And then after I decided that I was going to do this, I put it out there in the heart community. And I said, hey, everybody, I'm going to have my own internet radio show. What kind of topics would you all like to see discussed? And I had already brainstormed with Mary, but I asked the heart community and they told me what they wanted. And I was really happy because it meshed. Mm-hmm. A lot of the things that Mary and I came up with are exactly what the heart community came up with.
You know your audience, clearly.
Well, I'm part of that audience.
Right, right.
So I knew what I would have liked to have discussed.
And that's also what you were doing when you made Hypoplastic Left Heart Syndrome and My Brother Needs an Operation. You were trying to make something that would have helped you.
Exactly, exactly. And The Heart of a Mother, mm-hmm. that featured essays that I would have loved to have read as a heart mom myself. So, yes, I've been a little bit selfish with some of the things that I've done.
Yes and no.
I've been producing things that I would have loved and just
hoping. But you're doing it for that other people can have it now. So.
Absolutely. So the cool thing was that when I started talking to people in the heart community and I said, oh, I'd like to do a show on PTSD and survivor's guilt, other people came forward and said, I'd like to talk about that. So my very first show had people who were dear friends of mine, but my second show was not. It was some people that I didn't really know. And so as time went on, If I was in a pinch, you or your dad right. or your brother would get to be on my show, or other friends. I would call in favors from friends or just beg friends to come on. But more and more, I had complete strangers who then became friends mm-hmm. in the course of putting the show together.
Exactly how you are. You meet somebody once and then you know half their life story. So you have a talent for that. Clearly, you've had many, many different people. Who's been the most memorable guest on your show?
Oh, Alex, that's a hard one to answer.
Maybe let's go with the top two most memorable.
Well, when I was first getting started, it was mostly friends, like what we were just mm-hmm. discussing. But one day, I had a show all planned out, and I was really excited about interviewing that guest, and something came up.
Mm. And they had to cancel?
They had to reschedule, which is not terribly uncommon, but the problem was I was putting out a show every single week, and I was doing it mostly by myself.
Right.
And it took a lot of time. So a lot of times I was going week to week. So when this person canceled, I was in a bind.
Yeah, you had nothing for that week.
I had nothing for that week. So I'm on Facebook. It's night, and they had just canceled. And I was supposed to record with them that night mm-hmm. so that I could edit it early the next morning so it would go out later that next day. And I was in a panic. I said, what am I going to do? I really should not have waited till the last minute with this guest. Yeah. But I think they had already rescheduled once. I was like, this is it. This is the last time we can do it. And then they contacted me and said, I'm so sorry. Just can't do it.
Yeah.
So I'm out there on the internet, and I saw a friend of mine was on. And it was my friend Carolyn, who wrote for my book, The Heart of a Mother.
Okay.
And I said, Carolyn, you're not going to believe this. I don't have a show for tomorrow. I just don't know what I'm going to do. And Carolyn said, I'll be your guest. And I said, really? You don't mind? She said, no. I said, well, what should we talk about? And she said, well, what do you want to talk about? She wrote for my chapter, one of my favorite chapters in the book, The Heart of a Mother. All of the chapters are unique, mm-hmm. but there's one chapter that's by mothers, but they themselves were born with heart defects. Some of the mothers adopted. Some of them were able to have their children naturally. Carolyn was one of them who had to adopt. Mm-hmm. She wasn't able to have a child herself naturally, but she could adopt. And right. so I really, really loved her story. And we decided not to talk about that. We decided to talk about another condition she had. So because she was born when she was, there was no surgery to help her at that time.
Right.
She was able to live with her heart defect the way it was until there was a surgery that would kind of help her. But by that time, her lungs had sustained damage.
Okay.
So she had a condition called Eisenmenger syndrome.
Okay.
And even though, thankfully, Eisenmenger syndrome is much more rare in the United States and Canada, which is where Carolyn was from, today than it was back in the day when she was younger, I thought it was something that there would be enough people alive today who had Eisenmenger syndrome that it would make an interesting show. So that night, Alex, we wrote a script. We recorded the show, and I started editing it.
Wow. Yeah. Very quick.
It was. And, you know, the fact that she was so easygoing about it, she heard me in a panic, wondering what I was going to do. I didn't want to let people down. I didn't want to let myself down.
Right.
I had a standard of getting a show out by 11 o'clock Central Time every single Tuesday, and to not have anything because I didn't have anything in the can just didn't sit right with me. And Carolyn shared my concern and took care of it. So
that's awesome.
I think that was probably one of my most memorable, oh my gosh, I've got to do something now situations. And there was my friend ready to help me out. Tonight Forever by the Baby Blue Sound Collective. I think what I love so much about this CD is that some of the songs were inspired by the patients.
Many listeners will understand many of the different songs and what they've been inspired by. Our new album will be available on iTunes, Amazon.com, Spotify.
I love the fact that the proceeds from this CD are actually going to help those with congenital heart defects.
Enjoy the music.
Home Tonight Forever.
This content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
The opinions expressed in the podcast are not those of Hearts Unite the Globe, but of the hosts and guests, and are intended to spark discussion about issues pertaining to congenital heart disease or bereavement.
You are listening to Heart to Heart with Anna. If you have a question or comment that you would like addressed on our show, please send an email to Anna Jaworski at anna@hearttoheartwithanna.com. That's anna@hearttoheartwithanna.com. Now, back to Heart with Anna.
As we said, a lot of guests in almost 8 years of doing the show. So aside from, you know, close family members, who's been your favorite guest?
Well, of course, you, your brother, and your dad. This is such a hard question to answer because I kind of feel like every single person has a special place in my heart. Every single person who took the time to send me a bio, look at a script, give me some feedback, they're special to me. Mm-hmm. And even to people that I didn't know before, but I know all these amazing doctors who have given me their time. And these doctors are so busy saving lives, but they made time out of their busy schedule to meet with me. So, of course, Dr. Edward Beauvais, who wrote the foreword for my book, The Heart of a Mother, when he came on, I was just so delighted because he's known as the man with the golden hands.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty high title.
It is. He's known all over the world for the work he has done because he's taken children from all over the world who maybe nobody else felt they could operate on. Mm-hmm. And he operates on those kids and he has saved lives. There are a number of people who wrote in The Heart of a Mother about coming to the United States specifically for him to operate on their child.
Very impressive.
I was really excited to have him on the program. And Dr. William Novick, who operates on children in war-torn countries disadvantaged countries. He's been on my show. Dr. Fred Wu, who is like the Twitter king.
Oh.
I love him. Dr. Karl Marx from Boston, who I've actually had the good fortune to meet in person at a conference.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Woody Benson, who served with the Children's Heart Foundation. Gosh, Alex, so many different amazing doctors. So all of them have been almost like a dream come true for me, because when I first started this podcast, of course, I was thinking maybe my friends would come on, but
you didn't think it would spread so far that so many people would be eager to come on board.
And that's the thing. People have been eager, and all I have to do is ask, and they've been so nice and so generous. Since your dad's a nurse, of course, you know, I have a soft spot for nurses, and I've had some amazing nurses. Dina Barber is one of my favorite nurses. She's been a nurse for decades, and she is just so smart. She knows everything. She knows everybody. Rosalind Rivera is another nurse. She's worked with Dr. Novick, so she has worked with these disadvantaged children.
Right.
But she was born with a heart defect.
Oh, cool.
So she can show them her scar.
That's really cool.
I think so, too. And then Carol Raimondi, also. She's the one who interviewed you for that one special episode, Rocking My Scars for Heart to Heart with Nicole and David.
Yeah.
So that has been really amazing. I've loved all of them. And, of course, interviewing Nicole and David of Heart to Heart with Nicole and David before that started. That was so much fun. David was one of my favorite guests. I just absolutely loved him. And of course, I had a doctor-nurse duo. Huh? Both of them were born with heart defects.
Oh, wow.
Now they work together.
Oh,
and now they're on my board, my medical advisory board. So how do I choose a favorite? It's really hard. Being an author, what do I love to do? Interview authors.
Right.
Some of these amazing authors. Just recently, I interviewed Jenny Muscatel. And the same day, I also interviewed Amy Lee. In the morning, I interviewed Jenny, and then later that evening, I interviewed Amy, and I got along so well with both of them, because Jenny's a heart mom, so of course, I'm going to get along great with her, and Amy is a heart warrior, and I'm just so inspired by her story, but I was talking to both of them, and I was telling them about a dream I have had for years. My dream was to create a cooperative bookstore. Because I think the hardest part about being an author, and since you're an author, you could tell me if you agree.
Right.
The hardest part is not writing a book. The hardest part is promoting the book.
The hardest part is, for me, the hardest part is finishing the book.
Well, yeah, that's
hard too. I've got like a dozen different things that I've started and I know what's going to happen, but haven't actually happened yet.
yep, absolutely. That is hard. But once you get it written, you realize the hardest part is not writing it. It's getting people to know about it.
And to want to buy it. And to tell their friends about it so they'll buy it. And word of mouth. Yep.
Right. And you and I are both introverts, although nobody believes I'm an introvert, Alex.
Right. You hide it very convincingly. On the other hand, people know that about me about 5 seconds after meeting me.
I guess so. So my dream was, let's start a cooperative bookstore where people from the heart world can come together, because I would find it so much easier to say to people, you really need to buy Jenny's book.
Right.
Jenny's a heart mom.
Instead of saying, you need to buy my book.
Exactly.
The Flood Tribe, the writer's group Dad and I used to go to, called it shameless self-promotion. It's difficult.
It's really hard. It's so much easier for me to promote somebody else. Mm-hmm. And so I told Amy, who has written historical fiction, which is really, really interesting, about her mother, who found out that her little girl had a heart defect in war-torn Vietnam.
Mm.
And there was not going to be a way to save her life. So her mom braved escaping from Vietnam during the war on a boat and came to the United States so that her daughter could have life-saving surgery.
Wow.
So she wrote her mother's story after her mom passed away.
Oh, wow.
So she had to do all this research.
Yeah.
I still need to know more.
Right.
She's going to do a book study, and I'm going to go and pepper her with questions during the book study. And then Jenny is a heart mom, and she wrote her story as well. So I told these moms about this dream of mine to have a cooperative bookstore, and they both agreed with me. It was a brilliant idea. But instead of just agreeing with me, they said, let's do it. And so now with their help, we now have
now
a cooperative bookstore.
And that's the Heart Community Collective, right?
Yes.
Awesome.
It is. So how do I say favorite, Alex? I have favorites for different reasons.
Right. So let's try the opposite direction. Do you have any difficult guests?
Yeah. How can you go for 7.5 years without having some kind of trouble, right? So you know I don't like to do live shows, right?
Right.
If something can go wrong, it will go wrong. I've had so many different problems, but I have done some live shows years ago. Recently, no, I have not. But when I left Voice America, which is where I started, I went with Blog Talk Radio. The reason why I chose Blog Talk Radio was because they had a studio. Because I didn't know how I was going to record. When I was with Voice America,
they did the recording.
Yes. And they did the editing.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And they did the promotion. I didn't
have
to
do as much. You basically just did the show itself.
Well, I had to write the scripts.
And they handled all the technical stuff. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So I was in a bit of a panic when I couldn't afford to stay with them. But I didn't want to give it up. Mm-hmm. So I found out about Blog Talk Radio, and this meant a huge learning curve for me.
Right.
So one of the things that they did was they had this ability to call into their studio, and they would record it. Then I could download the recording. I learned how to use Audacity.
Right.
And I would edit the show and put it out that way. Well, I decided to do some live shows then because that was basically what I knew.
Sure.
And I was really lucky because a heart mom, Callie Rickard, who was on my first show, she was helping me out. Thank goodness for Callie. Don't know what I would have done without Callie in those early days. She was really awesome. And your dad used to be able to go to conferences overseas for work, and I could go with him.
Travel with him. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of hard when you're overseas to do something for 11 a.m. in Texas.
Yeah.
So Callie said she would be my guest host. Well, before I left, I had a gentleman who wrote to me and said, I really want to go on your show. I've heard your show and I wrote a book and you need to interview me. Well, I went out and looked at information about his book and he had acquired heart disease, not congenital.
Okay.
So I said, well, this doesn't really fit my need, but thank you so much for listening. And I don't think we're going to do a show about your story. So he waited till I left Alex. And Callie was the guest host, and it was a call-in show.
Oh,
so he called in.
So he called in. Wow. Hey, dedication.
He got his show. Even though I told him no twice, he still got his show. So I guess I would say that was kind of a troublesome guest because I had told him no twice, but he came on anyway. But I've been really, really blessed because most of my guests have been a lot of fun. But you know what?
There's always going to be one or two.
Yeah.
So then you mentioned Callie. What about some of the other guest hosts that you've had?
Oh my gosh. When I was thinking about the answer to this question, I thought that there were only a handful. And then I went back and did my research and there have been so many.
Yeah.
It's actually been pretty amazing how many guest hosts I've had. So first there was Callie. Another two guest hosts that I have who are also really close friends of mine are Rita mm-hmm. Scoggins. Do you remember
Rita? I remember
Rita?
The name, yes. I'm not sure if I've met her.
You've met Rita. We okay. went to lunch with her and Victoria in Austin at Chewy's. We went yeah. to the literary festival in Austin, and she came okay. to our table when we had our books for sale. And then after we did the literary festival, we all went out to lunch together.
Cool.
And
cool.
I've met with Rita a couple of times, but you got old too fast.
Yeah.
You got old too fast and started doing your own thing. But anyway, she's done several shows. Laura Ryan. Mm-hmm. Now, you met her when we went to Florida and we went to SeaWorld. Do you remember that?
I remember SeaWorld.
You were a little boy. And Laura brought her two little boys. It was right at Halloween. And you guys did lightsaber fights.
Of course we did.
You were lightsaber fighting with her kids. And you guys had a great time. So Laura's a heart warrior. And so she has been a guest host. And she and Rita even did a show together, was a lot of fun. But those are two people who have been with me since before the podcast because they were writers for The Heart of a Mother. So I've known them both for over two decades.
Wow. Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. But I think the people who probably had the hardest time as a guest host were my foreign language people.
Of course. Yeah. That would be a big barrier to get over.
Well, especially since a lot of them had never been on my show.
So they didn't really know what to expect either.
Yeah, they hadn't been on the other side of the microphone. And they were so brave. So you know Cora Den Harder.
Oh, yeah.
She did my Dutch show for me.
She did. Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome.
Because Toastmasters can do anything, right?
Sure.
And she did a super job as my guest host. And then Isabel Elaine did my first French show. That's my number one show in France.
Ah, cool.
Isabel did a great job interviewing a French doctor in Paris. She's Canadian.
Wow. Oh, hey.
Yeah, I had a French-Canadian and a Parisian doctor talking. And the best part about that was that Isabel was a heart mom. Mm-hmm. And she had a child who had a Fontan heart. And the doctor that she was interviewing was answering questions about the connection between the liver and the Fontan.
Oh.
And she told me afterwards that she cried.
Oh, wow.
Because she had been so worried about what might happen to her child, and this doctor made her feel so much better.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know. So even if it didn't help anybody else, I'm just so happy that it helped Isabel. But yeah. I know that it helped other people because I've actually gotten feedback on that show, which was really awesome. Marta Montero did two Spanish shows for me, not just one. And in one of the shows, she interviewed...
Marta.
I know. Marta's brilliant. She interviewed Dr. Armando Ramirez for one of the shows. And that was when I was doing heart defects around the globe. So that was really cool because she was in Puerto Rico interviewing a doctor in Costa Rica.
Oh, yeah.
So we were really around the world with that one. That was really cool. And then she interviewed Jennifer Aguina. And now Jennifer and Marta are working with Belen Blanton as the co-host for our first dedicated Spanish show.
Oh, awesome.
So that is really, really super cool. Just last year, Nino Barbalacci, who isn't even connected to the heart world except through a mutual friend. Ah. He's friends with a friend of mine named Annie Olchek, who has also been on my show. And she's a longtime friend of mine. I put out a plea for help. I was asked to speak in Italian at a professional
I remember
conference.
You talking about this.
I was in a panic because I didn't know if I could do it. And so I asked all my heart friends, does anybody out there know Italian? Can you help me with my little speech so that I don't sound like an idiot in front of all these Italian doctors? And Annie said, I can't help you, but I have a friend who can. So she put me in touch with Nino, and he did such a great job and was so sweet to me. I said, hey, would you like to be a guest host on my show and do the very first Italian show? So he did, with the sweetest little cardiothoracic surgeon in Italy.
Ah, wow.
Her name is Gabriella Ricciardi, and I absolutely adore her. So that's my first Italian show. And guess what? It's my number one show in Italy.
Not much of a surprise, but that's cool.
Not much of a surprise. And then Rachel Greenbaum did my first Hebrew show.
Oh.
And Rachel and I got a chance to meet when I went to Israel.
Oh, awesome.
So that was really cool. And she interviewed Michael Lieben's children, who happened to be friends of hers. So it made for such a sweet show.
Yeah.
It was really, really a sweet show.
That's cool.
So I guess my foreign language shows
I've been mostly guest hosted, it sounds like.
Well, all of them. Because,
all of them.
You know, I know American Sign Language. That doesn't help much on a podcast. I don't really feel comfortable enough with any of the other languages.
Yeah, limited usage there.
Way, way too challenging for me at this point. But I can be the producer and I can edit them with their help. Everybody's had to kind of help me out. But I guess one of my other favorite guest hosts is Chris Perez. And Chris Perez and I have been friends for, oh my gosh, such a long time. He's a blogger like me, and he writes a blog called Half Heart, Whole Life, an HLHS dad's blog.
Cool.
And he has a great sense of humor. So, you know, I told you Callie took over for me when I went on vacation.
Right.
Well, there was another time I was going on vacation and Chris said, I'll do a couple podcasts for you. I said, really? He said, sure, I'll do a few of them. What's so amazing about Chris was Chris wrote the script. Chris found the guests.
Oh, wow.
Chris edited the show. Chris uploaded the shows. I mean,
he really stepped up.
He did everything.
That's
with the
cool.
other. I thought, wow, this is pretty awesome. And the three shows that he did are so much fun that I like to go back and listen to them.
Oh, cool.
And I've actually featured them a couple of times when I've taken a little break and had a rerun of an episode.
Hitting up the classics again. Cool. Yeah. That's really awesome. So I'm like, you've had a lot of luck with guest hosts, just like you have with your guests.
I have. And I think that if it wasn't for some guest hosts giving me a break every now and then, I may not have made it to episode 300.
Anna Jaworski has written several books to empower the congenital heart defect, or CHD, community. These books can be found at Amazon.com or at her website, www.babyheartspress.com. Her bestseller is The Heart of a Mother, an anthology of stories written by women for women in the CHD community. Anna's other books, My Brother Needs an Operation, The Heart of a Father, and Hypoplastic Left Heart Syndrome, A Handbook for Parents, will help you understand that you are not alone. Visit babyheartspress.com to find out more.
Heart to Heart with Anna is a presentation of Hearts Unite the Globe and is part of the HUG Podcast Network. Hearts Unite the Globe is a nonprofit organization devoted to providing resources to the congenital heart defect community to uplift, empower, and enrich the lives of our community members. If you would like access to free resources pertaining to the CHD community, please visit our website at www.congenitalheartdefects.com for information about CHD, the hospitals that treat children with CHD, summer camps for CHD survivors, and much, much more.
You've had a lot of luck with the podcast, but let's talk about what's the worst problem that you have had. Because it sounds like there were definitely some hiccups early on when you changed from Voice America to
Blog Talk Radio.
Since then, you've kind of gone on your own.
Yeah.
But there have definitely been some bumps along the way. So what's the worst thing that's happened?
Well, I think the absolute worst thing that happened was losing my producer.
Oh.
Pretty quickly into my podcast career, but not the first year. So I think it was the second or third year he started listening to my show. And I'm always going to talk about all kinds of stuff with my guests.
Sure.
And so one of the things that we talked about was where we lived. And he heard me say that I lived in Texas.
In
Central Texas.
And he's like, hey, I live in Austin.
Right. So he said, oh my gosh. He contacted me and said, I didn't know you lived in Texas. We should get together. So at that time, I was meeting once a month with some friends at La Madeleine in Austin. And it happened to be kind of close to where he lived. So I said, hey, I'm going to be in your neck of the woods. Do you want to get together and meet? He brought his daughter.
Ah, cool.
And we got a chance to meet. It was near Valentine's Day. And the way I remember this is they had cookies that were heart-shaped.
Mm-hmm.
And we took some pictures of ourselves. And you could see the cookies in the background.
Nice.
So it made it easy to remember when we met. And it was shortly after that that he came on my program and talked about CCTGA, which was the name of the heart defect he had.
Okay.
And it seems like it was no time at all before we decided to do a podcast called Heart to Heart with Nicole and David.
Okay. So he helped get that started.
Actually, Nicole had come on a different show.
Right.
She had been on her own show, and she was so vivacious and so easy to talk to. I said, I've been thinking about doing a show for heart warriors by heart warriors.
Right.
And I said, what do you think? And she said, well, I don't want to do it alone. And she knew David and I knew David, and it just seemed like a perfect fit.
Yeah.
So then David became a co-host, but unfortunately, because of health issues, the show had to go on hiatus. But that didn't stop David. He just stepped up instead and became my sound engineer. He became my producer. It seemed like anything I was doing, David was there.
Mm-hmm.
So when he got really sick...
Yeah.
And then he passed away. I think that was the hardest thing that I've had to endure.
Yeah. That would be. It's awful. I mean, it's great that he stepped up, that he was able to be there and be such a good friend and a good helper and coworker and all of that. And that he helped make the show for a long time.
He really did. And he told his mom that he was thankful that he had the show to work on because it gave him a reason to get out of bed every morning.
Yeah.
And he felt like he had a purpose.
That's fantastic.
That's how I feel doing this too, is that this is my purpose. This is my mission. So I think losing David was heartbreaking, but I'm so thankful that I got to know him through the podcast.
That's great. It's sad, but gotta look for the silver lining.
Yeah.
So let's try to find something a little cheerier. What's the best moment that you've ever had doing the podcast?
It's so hard, Alex. Once again, so many days, 7.5 years. I'm really excited because just recently we found out that we've hit 100,000 hits.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. That was really, really exciting. So that made me feel proud because it is not because of me. It's because of the amazing team of people I have.
Well, you got them all together.
Well, I know I can't take credit for that.
And I'm sure you have been an excellent motivator for them.
Well, thank you for saying that, Alex. I just have the best friends. I have the best friends.
Because you are a good friend.
Well, thank you for saying that, Alex. I love you for saying that. I just feel
good,
really...
Good people congregate. They find each other. And they stick together.
That's true. And the heart community is so tight.
Yeah.
That's been really, really awesome. So a lot of people have been sharing the podcast. That makes me feel really good. Even friends of mine who are Toastmasters, when they find out that they know somebody with a heart defect, then they say, oh, you've got to listen to my friend's podcast.
Cool.
So that's really cool. So a lot of people, even people who are not in my heart community, but they're in my Toastmasters community or they're high school friends of mine that I'm still in touch with on Facebook.
One of the few things worth keeping Facebook around for.
Definitely. Or some of my other friends like swim parents, theater parents, robotics parents.
Yeah, because I mean, you never know where it's going to crop up.
Absolutely. It's been really pretty amazing how there's been so much interwovenness, if that's a word.
Yeah. I remember that one lady who had been on the swim team with Joey when they were younger wound up having a child with a heart defect and you helped her out.
Absolutely. And so did you, because she was very motivated to meet you and to see that you were doing so well.
I'm glad I could do that. Yeah. I have mentioned at work every now and then because, for those of you who don't know, I'm a pharmacy technician at a local hospital. And so I don't meet with patients, but occasionally I'm in the nursing station while the nurses are discussing things. Once or twice I've been able to, when I overhear what they're saying about a patient with such and such condition, I recommend the podcast and be like, you should let them know this exists.
Wow. Well, so, thank you for...
It's only come up once or twice. You can't work it into conversation very casually, but I do what I can.
So getting 100,000 hits has been really exciting. It kind of feels
like
a
great milestone.
Yeah, it feels like a really important milestone to hit, and I'm eager to see what's going to happen from here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that maybe one of my proudest moments didn't happen with Heart to Heart with Anna.
Oh?
So you know that Michael Lieben came on my show.
Right.
And we had such a good time talking. And I've known Michael now for 20 years. He was supposed to write for The Heart of a Father, but he ended up not doing so for whatever reason.
Hey.
And I knew that someday we would have a project together. We had talked about multiple projects. We had talked about doing a video series.
Yeah.
Everything fell through until I said to him, I'd like to do a podcast for the bereaved community, but I'm not the right host. He lost his daughter, Liel, when she was a teenager. And I said, I think he would be the right host. He's a very compassionate man. He's got a great wit. He's got a great sense of humor. And you need that when you're talking about something as serious as bereavement.
Yes. Yes.
So I talked to him about
doing that. And it needs to be something worth listening to.
And not trite. I mean, he could still talk about something serious.
Totally.
But still be able to find that silver lining, still be able to find that way to bring a little bit of humor into what could be a really dark subject.
Yeah, yeah.
So I knew he
was able to get that right balance of the subject matter.
Absolutely.
That's important.
Absolutely. Michael was going to be the ideal host for me. And he said yes, but he was really funny because he said, I'll do three shows. And then before he knew it, it was 3 years and now we're going on five.
Oh, wow.
Which is really, really cool. And I think one of my proudest moments was last year when he became a finalist for the WeGo Health Award.
Mm.
And his podcast beat out so many podcasts, including Heart to Heart with Anna.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
kind of
cool.
But I was so proud of him
that
his podcast did that well, became a finalist, and kind of put Heart to Heart with Michael on the map. It just made me so proud for him. I'm the executive producer of that show, and I help out with script writing and some of the other things too. But just to know that I'm the one who discovered Michael.
Yeah.
It felt really, really good. And I just feel really lucky that Nancy Jensen is a producer. She's another bereaved mom, and she has just the right balance. You were talking about balance. Nancy, Michael, and I, we make a really good team because we balance each other out. And then I think one of my other really proud moments, and this one brought me to tears, was when my friend...
Not always the hard thing to do.
Well, no, that's not always hard. But this one really, because it took me aback, Alex, was my friend Jody Smith asked me to be the MC for the Mended Little Hearts conference.
Oh, cool.
And I had been a couple of years, and then she invited me to be the MC, and as a Toastmaster.
Oh, yeah.
That's
something
that
right
feels...
Right up your alley.
Right. It feels really good. But what I didn't expect was for her to call me up on the stage during the awards ceremony and present me with the 2019 Tita Hutchins Award.
Oh, that's really cool.
That brought me to tears. I wasn't expecting that. And that is for organizations and people who are not part of Mended Little Hearts, but who Mended Little Hearts believes makes a significant contribution to the congenital heart defect community.
Well, that's awesome.
I know. So I've been so lucky. I've had a number of really awesome, proud moments.
Yeah.
But I think maybe those are the ones that stick out the most in my mind.
Well, that's really cool. So as we just talked about with Michael, people who are in the CHG community, there's several podcasts out there, and they're not all about heart defects. There's a lot of, as I say, breadth. There's a lot of coverage. People can do podcasts about just about anything, but they still think of themselves as in the CHD community. That matters to a lot of people.
Absolutely.
So what advice would you have for other people in the CHD community who are thinking of their own podcast?
Well, I would say take a lesson from what I've learned. Number one, be passionate about what you do. If you're passionate, you're less likely to quit. There's something called podcast fade. I don't know if you've ever heard that.
I have not.
Okay, so podcast fade is where you start a podcast because wouldn't it be great to have a podcast?
Right.
And you start doing it and you're like, holy crap, this is a lot of work.
Yeah.
And darn it, I did all this work and only three people listened and two of them were my mom and dad. It's really easy to get discouraged. And so people will start a podcast and then they realize how much work it is, or life happens where we've all been there where the dog gets sick, your car breaks down, you know, you get sick. And so it's really hard.
Especially this past year.
Oh, I know, right? This last year with the pandemic has made that even
more
apparent.
So many people's plans have gone up in smoke.
Absolutely. So if you're passionate, you're less likely to have podcast fade, because even if you only have three people at the very beginning, you just keep plugging away, and hopefully those three people will tell three people, and they'll tell three people, and eventually you'll end up with 100,000 listeners. You just never know. So be passionate and surround yourself with people who are smarter than you. That's what I have to do. I surround myself with people who are smarter than I am, who are passionate like I am, and then you have amazing people who support you, who want to see you be successful, who want to be part of that success, and success begets success. So if it wasn't for my amazing volunteers helping me out, people like David, people like Rita, Callie, Janet, you know, Janet Thompson is my producer right now. She stepped up after David passed away. I don't think I would have made it to episode 300. It's too much for one person to do all by himself
all by
or herself.
Yeah.
But if you surround yourself with other positive people and you stay passionate, remember why you're doing this. I started this initially to help people learn about my books and to help people not feel alone. I think that helping people not feel alone has become the superior mission for me. And it's something that is so easy for me to want to continue to do.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, Baby Hearts Press, my publishing company, they're our biggest financial supporter.
Right.
And so I get to run a couple of ads every now and then about the books that are available. And it's nice when I get some orders, because then I can put the money into the podcast. But really, it's about trying to help people not feel alone. And it's kind of like continuing education for people in the heart community.
Yeah.
With the awesome doctors and nurses, but even the heart warriors themselves, the parents, I feel like I'm always learning from everybody who comes on the program.
I feel like And I'm sure they've all been able to learn stuff listening to your podcast and then being on it. Probably help pick up a lot of information for people.
I'd like to think so, yeah.
I mean, it's hard to see how not. If they follow it, they would kind of not even think about it, but pick up a lot. Mm-hmm. So that's great. So what do you think is going to happen in the future for Heart to Heart with Anna? Where do you think you're going to go?
Well, it's kind of funny that you ask about this, because just recently I was talking about an exit strategy.
Oh.
And I had several people who let me know that's not an option.
Not surprised.
But I wondered, as I was closing in on 300 episodes, is there still
something for me to do?
Yeah,
more to talk about, more people to talk to,
absolutely.
More topics.
Absolutely. There's no end to it, because I find people's stories so interesting, and everybody has a story to share.
Yeah.
You just don't know what it is until you start talking to them. So that became not an option. The strategy is not an option. And I just got so excited when we came up to this episode and I asked people, well, what do you think we should do? And so many people said to me, you need to have somebody else interview you. And then Mary said, you need to have your son interview you. And I said, I don't know if he'll do it. And she said, you have to ask him. And then when I did, you said yes. So that has made it really awesome. So I guess I foresee this program continuing for a while anyway, as long as people still enjoy listening to it.
That'll be a long while then.
I hope so. I hope so. But I think what's really exciting for me is that the Spanish podcast has
Taken off?
It has. It's come off of the two little episodes that I did in Spanish have begat their own Spanish show. So now we have Guerreras de Corazón, and it's a monthly podcast just like Heart to Heart with Michael, which is now but still me.
Is that translate to Heart Warriors? Because I know Corazón is heart. I don't know what Guerreras is.
It's Warriors of the Heart.
Warriors of the Heart.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very good. Yes. So what's really cool is there are three co-hosts. Remember I was telling you about Marta? There's Marta, there's Jennifer, and then another woman named Belen, who's also been on my show. Belen is a heart warrior, and she's originally from Venezuela.
Oh, wow.
She has an amazing nonprofit organization where she's helping her people in Venezuela.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
I know. I absolutely love her. I love her mission. She's amazing. Jennifer and Marta are heart moms. And so, of course, they have a piece of my heart, too,
right?
Because we all speak the same language, and it's really amazing. And so they're the future, the next generation of podcasters. But I think one of the things that really has me excited is that I just had a board meeting with my nonprofit organization, Hearts Unite the Globe. And I was telling them that I've been invited to be a guest on Unbeatable and on Nicole Groenewelt's podcast and on Mary Rouser's podcast. So there's three different podcasts that I can name just off the top of my head where I've been invited to be a guest.
Cool.
And they've been on my show. And I talked to my board and I said, I'd really love for the network to be kind of like a TV network. In a television network, you have a number of different programs, but they're all in that one network. And my board gave me the go-ahead to let me have other people's shows in my network.
Awesome.
So I'm hoping that that'll be the future. It's not just going to be me where I'm the executive producer or I'm the host, but it will be me inviting other people, just like with my cooperative bookstore, only it'll be
like
cooperative podcasting, and we'll be able to help people to find the podcast that they want to listen to, because some podcasts are going to appeal more to certain people.
They're
going to
be a little more specialized, kind of more niche podcasts.
Absolutely. So Mary's podcast and Margaret's podcast. Margaret is the host for Unbeatable. Mm-hmm. Both of them are Heart Warriors.
Okay.
And so they have their own podcast with their own spin on things. And then Nicole is like me. She's a heart mom. And she's doing a podcast just for heart moms. But she also wants the dads in there, too. She really wants it to be for parents, not just for parents of children with heart defects, but also parents for children of different kinds of medical conditions.
Okay.
Because it's so easy to feel like you're the only one who's dealing with feeding tubes, who's dealing with respirators, who's dealing with frequent visits to the doctor and all of that.
Physical therapy and, yeah.
Exactly. Physical speech therapy, all of those kinds of things. So by Nicole producing this podcast that she has, she's going to be able to reach out and help all of those other parents. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah. I think the future is going to be really bright. And Alex, I think I'm going to be meeting more people and enjoying promoting their programs and hope that they'll promote my programs as well.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you for being the guest today, for sharing so much about the show, about the history, about the future of it. It's been amazing. So congratulations on episode 300.
Well, thank you so much, Alex. And I've loved having you as a guest host. You're my favorite guest host today.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So that's all for this episode. I've enjoyed being the guest host today. Please come back next week and she will be hosting then. If you enjoyed this episode of Heart to Heart with Anna, please join her Patreon group. Just go to www.patreon.com/hearttoheart. And remember, my friends, you are not alone.
Thank you again for joining us this week. We hope you have been inspired and empowered to become an advocate for the congenital heart defect community. Heart to Heart with Anna, with your host Anna Jaworski, can be heard every Tuesday at 12 noon Eastern Time.